Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Caleb Prattis in Midwest Muscle. P for P Real Talk. We're here with a special fellow to me. I mean, he's just such a blessing. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go on, and you just, this man has just found a way to just keep coming out on top. But first, before I forget, big shout out to P4P. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete that are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. And I sure don't want to, you know, overlook the fact that I'm at Click Nutrition in Joliet. I made a mistake. I said Click Nutrition is in several facilities. I'm doing live blog broadcast out for Click Nutrition on Tuesdays. If you want to stop in and talk to the people, ask me questions, and speak to the natural pro competitors live, or just the natural P4P athletes live, stop on in to Click Nutrition, and we'll get you on, and you'll ask the question, and I'll relay it, and we'll have your answer right there live, and you can answer. You can actually talk to the man right now if you come in. And this guy, he needs no introduction, but I'll introduce him anyway. His name's Phil Ricardo Jr. He's one of the premier elite athletes in the pro bodybuilding, natural pro bodybuilding circuit. And he's just one of those humble gentlemen that just finds a way to, you know, basically improve on himself year after year. And he was the first person to tell me that, you know, natural bodybuilding was the fountain of youth. And I looked around after he said it, and I was amazed at how spot on he was with that assessment. Because if you look at what the master's class has been doing, what the junior master's class has been doing, and what they look like. I mean, if you think about Marshall Johnson, Moji Alua, or Martin Daniels, and of course Rico himself, and it's head and shoulders above what you would expect, especially when they say their age. So without that, without further ado, we're going to introduce Phil Ricardo. It's for the people that don't know him, which I would find it hard to believe. If anyone keeps up with the natural community, you have to know who this man is. And I'll let him introduce himself, and then he will go take the show from there.
Hey, man. Thanks, Caitlin. Appreciate the introduction and all the great words. You know, couldn't have said it better myself, but, you know, my name is Philip Ricardo. I recently won the Natural Olympia this year, and I'm feeling on cloud nine, feeling so blessed and, you know, honored to achieve that goal. And, you know, it's the third Natural Olympia that I've won. I've been competing for now 23 years. And like you said, founding youth, I'm definitely feeling the age, but I am 44 years old. Kyoshi Moody, you know, he won Natural Olympia last year at the same age. And as you mentioned, there's so many different competitors out there. You know, it seems like the older they get as a natural athlete, you still can continue to push the bar, make improvements on your physique, get that muscle maturity. You know, I know that Martin Daniels, you know, he's in his 40s. I think he's around the same age as me. Cleveland just turned 40. You know, all the guys that are at this show, Sammy Sisk, Michael Forensic, Hank Diaz is in his, I think he's in his 80s, Doug Holmgren, there's so many guys, you know. It's crazy, you know. So I feel great, and I feel like I can keep going on and on and on, and, you know, there's no stopping as long as you live in that lifestyle. But I just feel so blessed, you know. There's the opportunities. I can't describe the feeling because, you know, I just set the goal this whole entire year for this show and just had, of course, you know, every competitor, you know, they'd be lying to you. They didn't say they had doubts of how the outcome would be or, you know, how to react if things don't go your way. But like I said, God shined his hands on me, and I was able to come out on top. And it's a great feeling. It's definitely a nice little weight off my shoulders. Try a little things differently this time so that I can stand on stage with those great world champions like, you know, Martin Daniels and Meshack O'Chang and you know, the Australians came out, you know, in full effect with Michael Waddington, Justin Figuera, Eddie Young, who's a new pro, and then a bunch of others, you know, Pierre Hartwig. It was just a great, great show, phenomenal athletes, and when you're competing against all the best in the world, you got to bring your A game. So I'm glad that I came over and did that.
It's really something special when you talk about the lineup that was at this year's show. I mean, it was a who's who of natural pro bodybuilding competitors. And, you know, like you said, it's just no telling. But there was something you said years ago now, since we last talked in detail, but there was something you said that really struck me, and it's always stuck with me. You said you don't pray to win. You pray to be at your best and that you've done your best. And I think that's a key thing when you talk about prayer, you know, because some people make prayer like a magic wish list or,
right.
Kind of a magic trick or magic act, where as you're saying, you know, let the prep be the way it's supposed to, let my body respond in the way it should. I mean, everything you were saying was basically so you could be at your best, not that anybody else wouldn't, but that you could be at your best. And if that was good enough, then, you know, by the grace of God, that you would win. And to me, that's not selfish. That's basically saying, you know, I can't imagine any where somebody didn't want to be at their best so the team doesn't look bad or the coach doesn't look bad. Or, but when you talk about those people that support natural bodybuilding, there's so many people involved. And if you don't do your part, then that basically takes away from everything they've done. And that was a very special thing that you said. And like I said, it's obviously meant something to me because it stuck with me all this time, where you could be in that mindset. And, Cleveland always said that, you know, the elite competitors are ahead of everyone else just because of their mindset and where they need to be. And, you know, for you to be that far ahead in those kind of thoughts, I can't even imagine what your training is like. Well, I can imagine because we had that.
We did. Yes, sir.
But if you can elaborate on that, so not the workout, but just the mindset of what it takes to come back year after year. Because, you know, I was reading about Kobe Bryant, and he's 20 years.
Retiring.
But his body, you know, and that's not because of his training regimen, but just because of the beating that he had to endure. So, you know, we had one of those benefits, but we still take a beating in the gym sometimes, you know, with the weights and everything and just time. But he kept coming back year after year with that intent to be better. And I noticed that a lot of the elite competitors, especially in the natural bodybuilding circuit, you guys come with the mindset that everything has to be on point. And that's a whole different way of thinking.
Yeah, yeah. You hit everything right on the head. And I guess the way to elaborate on that is, you know, when you become, you know, considered one of the elite, the top guys, and it's sometimes not even in my own mind or Cleveland's or Martin's or anybody else's, it's just the fact that, you know, when you accumulate a record of doing well in the sport and, you know, you faced everybody and you're winning titles and things like that, people have expectations of you. And so when you just have that out there and you have the fans or whoever it is, it that's another driving force that pushes you because, you know, God basically gave each of us different gifts. I don't have Cleveland's body or Martin's body or Meshach's body or, you know, Kiyoshi's or anybody else's. I have my body. I've got to push it to the best of my ability. And I can tell if I'm doing the right things, pushing myself, or if I'm slacking. And, you know, just like, you know, any athlete like you're talking about, whether it's Kobe or Michael Jordan or, you know, any of the top guys, you have to do your research. And if I know I'm going up against Martin, I got to bring on some size. Or if I'm going against Cleveland, I got to have conditioning and symmetry. And, you know, it's just almost a chess match of whoever you're going up against. And sometimes you don't even know who's going to show up. So basically, you just have to put it all in the gym. You got to have that kind of Rocky Balboa mentality. And, you know, I know I love watching those kind of motivational movies and, you know, music and things like that to push myself in the gym. And as you get older, it gets harder, you know. And like you said, too, even though bodybuilding is an individual sport, when you step on stage, it is still a team effort. And I know when we talked, and you've talked to my wife before and you see my kids, it's a team effort. You can't do it all on your own. I can't do it on my own without my wife helping me out by taking care of the kids or cooking food or giving me time in the gym so she can take care of things and I can take care of things. It's a team. I wouldn't be able to do what I do if not for her and her patience and caring and everything else and being that support unit. And even this time around too, I had support from, you know, the gym that I work at. I had support from, you know, certain workout partners that wanted to train and push me. I had some assistance too from Troy Hill, Davion Hill's father. He really helped me out this time around. So I got to give him a lot of props and praise because he stepped up and knew what I needed to do to bring myself to the next level to face a guy like, you know, like I said, Martin Daniels, who's just incredible. Justin Figueroa, Meshack, Michael Waddington. It was just an incredible, and to see that my body did make those changes that I needed to, you know, help me get this title, you know, it's a team effort, prayer, of course, you know, because sometimes you need that extra thought process to, you know, when you're dragging in the gym or with your diet or whatever, to just say, look, God, you know, help me to just get that little extra energy, that little extra push, a little extra drive and, you know, help me to get through this day, and everything worked out. And I can't fail to mention too. We've got my sponsors too. We've got to mention Jason Hansen, Body Evolution, Dave Edgel. Those guys, they came to my rescue, and they've always been by my side. I couldn't do it without them. They are more important than anyone would know. You know, to have a sponsor like that, you know, you don't hear too much about them. You know, mainstream, but they've been by my side since 2010. And you know, they're family to me. So when I mention family being my support, they're definitely part of my family.
And they do a wonderful job. You know, I was blessed to actually meet him. And you know, sorry about the time. You know, when they were in their struggle, but
right.
even then they were still blessings because of the energy and the positive spirit that they shared. You know, on both sides. Like I said, that show will always be special to me because, you know, at the time I didn't know everything that was going on, but I just remembered the love that they were sharing and giving. And then when you understand that what's going on and they still, you know, that just, man, I'm telling you, that was just special. But, you know, we don't want to get too far off on the subject, but, you know, I just thank God for them and let that be. But, you know, you coming in, and like I said, this was basically the show of shows because just with the names that were involved on the male and female side, it was just it was a competition. I mean, and I don't think anybody knew just because of the, you know, the way the shows had been going during the year. We had for anybody that was following the sport had an idea of what they were looking for, but it's just an idea. And then when you talk about the physiques that are stepping on stage, and that's the one thing I know that's very unique about the natural bodybuilding, is that everybody has the ability to be different because, you know, they're not running off of a pharmaceutical, so they basically have their own body design, and that's what they have to take to the stage. When you walk into a room with that kind of presence and that kind of energy as a competitor, you know, because I know you're a fan of the sport as well, but as a competitor, that's got to be just like goosebumps and everything else.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy because, you know, the thing, especially about the Natural Olympia, is it's international, so they've had nearly 500 total competitors, male, female, all over the world. You know, I can't even count how many countries there were. You know, they were represented. Like, the Australians brought over 100 people alone, you know. And then you've got, you know, Germany, New Zealand, Romania, Slovakia. I mean, I can't even name all the countries they had there. And that made it really special because you meet people from overseas, and some of them know you, but you don't know them, but you get to meet them. And then when you see them pumping up backstage, you're like, wow, whatever they do in their country, they know what they're doing. They're doing their homework, and they don't come to play, you know. But they're very friendly, and they come to just represent their country. Like, it's a big deal. I know one of the guys, I can't remember the name of the country, but I think it's somewhere in Africa. And for him to go back, because he actually won the amateur class for the Natural Olympia, He's going back there with a gold medal, and he had a national anthem played for him. And he's going to go back to his country as a hero because, you know, he came to this world championship show and beat out, you know, all these different countries. So being able to do that, it's a big, big deal. So the energy level from all the competitors is on a whole nother level, you know. And I've competed in a lot of shows in the past and seen shows this year and judged at them. And, you know, it's a lot of the top athletes within the U.S., but when you go to an international level, it just kind of raises it up a little bit. And like I said, I know when you have guys like Michael Waddington and Justin Ferguer and Peter Harwood and guys like that competing, knowing how dominant they are in Australia, and they always bring a scary package to the stage. You want to see what they look like when they're pumping up backstage. And of course, you know, Martin Daniels and Lee Shack. So it's the energy is definitely high. And being a fan, I always enjoy seeing, like, wow, look at that guy. There's just amazing muscle, amazing intensity, amazing energy. And, you know, you just have to bring your A game. So it was great. And then I think Kyoshi did an awesome job, too, because he was kind of the moderator when we were all on stage. He had all the pros on stage, and they were doing little interviews and things like that. And so when he did the interviews, he was trying to stir up the pot a little bit to see who wanted to win and what people were saying, like who's at their best. When you hear people saying, oh, I'm at my best, I'm not going to lose, it does put some fear in your heart, like, man, what does he look like? You know, because everybody's covered up at that time. And it's not until you take everything off and you're pumping it backstage where you can kind of see, you know, where you might land. So, but I felt good. And like I said, everything worked out.
And you know, this show was very special, you know, for a lot of reasons, you know. And the biggest thing that you know, there was one thing for certain. Kyoshi wouldn't win. But everything else.
You know, indeed. This is one year he even win.
Yes, and he does
the last
a lot.
6 years.
Exactly. So, you know, in with that kind of dominance, and I've said this, and I will say it, and this is just from a boxing point of view, something my dad always told me. You never tie the champ. You lose. You
right.
have to beat them hands down. So if it's close, that's no cigar. And, you know, it's a lot of people that get frustrated about that. But I'm sorry, I can't be one of those because, my you know, it's just something that I learned growing up in boxing. You know, if the tie goes to the runner, it basically is because he was the one that was already on base, you know, and it just didn't, you know, for a lot of people that are competitive, that aren't competitive, it might sound unfair, but you're the champ for a reason. And that's, you know, you've done the work, you basically busted your butt, and to be that many years, you know, that speaks for itself. And the man works. I mean, let's be honest. If anybody's had a chance to be with him in the gym or just around his mentality, he's a competitor. And, you know, that's not to be taken lightly. And the fact that he does bring it and he is in the top echelon, then you got to be him. I mean, that's just the way I see it. And, you know, I might be one of few that feel that way. But like I said, just by the competitive nature, you got to beat the champ. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. You know, I went up against him the last time in 2012. And I know that it was very close. A lot of people were saying I won, that him. And, you know, like you said, if it's very close, unless I'm, you know, so far out in front, then I knew there's a good chance it would go to him. And I know he was better in the evening time and this and that. And I had no hard feelings because, you know, me and him are, you know, we've been around the sport together competing, you know, against each other since 1998. So that's a lot of history. We were in San Diego together, always kind of looked up to each other and rooted for each other when we're not obviously going up against each other. And so, you know, throughout our entire career, you know, it was one of those things where I thought, man, when it comes to natural body, when this guy is, you know, he's special. There's only once in a lifetime there's the special type of bodybuilders, natural bodybuilders, you know, whatever, you know, you can go from the non-tested guys. Obviously, Arnold's going to be, you know, always mentioned in the top, and you go to obviously natural bodybuilding. There's, you know, you got your list, you know, and Kyoshi Moody obviously is on that list, if not the top guy when he wins six in a row. You got guys like him, you know, you got Martin Gaines, Doug Miller, you got Cleveland, you got Meeseeks, you got so many of them that I'm mentioning, and you know people are going to have their thought processes and things they say one way or another, but the record speaks for itself. And so, like you said, if you are going to go up against someone like that, if you don't come in there ready to smash and be so far above that they can't take it away from the champ, then it's not going to happen. And I go into every show if I'm facing someone like him, and that's one thing I can say is the people that I have respect for, like, for instance, like Cleveland Thomas or pretty much all the competitors, the top guys, no one's afraid to face each other. You know, you almost look forward to facing the top guys and thinking that, you know, I got a chance to beat them. And if you don't, you know, there's normally, you know, no hard feelings. I'm going up against Kiyoshi. I know that I'm maybe the underdog, but it's okay because I'm going out to see where I stand, see if I made the improvements and I can stand next to him and give him a good fight. And I feel good because I think I'm the only pro that ever have actually beaten him on stage, so I can at least be proud of that. You know, I think I have a good record where I faced the majority of the top pros and I've beaten them, and I can say that about Kiyoshi, giving him his only loss, but, you know, he has a way, way better record against me. But, you know, like, you know, I say I got lucky one time, and, you know, it's one of those things. You know, you keep going, and you get your moral victories here and there, and, you know, like I said, I try to go up like a Rocky Balboa. I can be the underdog, but sometimes I'll somehow find a way to pull it out, and I did it once against him. I did it this past, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I feel like I've had a great career, and I've been blessed, and otherwise I wouldn't be on the show, so I know it's a good positive thing to be doing what I do, and I have a great team, and, you know, I can't say enough. But yeah, he's the man, and, you know, when you go up against guys like him, you got to bring your A game.
It was something to see, you know, and my goodness, like I said, the names alone, and with the physiques that were on stage, when you talk about, I like Justin Pagara and his legs, he just brought them up year after year, and his upper body has always been something to see. But when he's dialing it in like that, that's got to be, you know, he's got to be looking over your shoulder. And then you, like I said, Martin Daniel just showing up. My goodness. And Meeseeks has been the terror from the Midwest with the way he's been coming through with those muscle bellies on him. And it's just like the list, and then, you know, the Michael Waddingtons, and then you got the other. And I would have been just excited just walking in the building, you know, much less competing, you know. And I remember when we were doing the Natural Legends and how you guys were saying how you all wanted to get on stage, and it was like, you know, bring it. And I was getting, you know, me and JB were getting goosebumps just hearing that.
Yeah.
And the fact that actually had that come to fruition for most of you, it's special. I mean, it's really special. As a fan, you can't ask for anything more. And, you know, like I said, with so many top names, male and female, as a fan, that's what the big shows are supposed to be like. It's supposed to be name after name after name, because that's what brings people to the seats. Because it's like if you all of you have a fan base, whether you understand how much it is or not, all of you have a very positive energy that follows you, and it creates a wake of positive energy behind you. So there's people that want to see what that Olympia is all about when they walk in the door, and then they're greeted with people that actually want to talk to them and want to, you know, you're greeting them exactly the way they envision it, because you're understanding, you know, I'm still working, I'm still on my grind, I'm still doing what I'm doing. And another part that I have to bring in is that, you know, you said your children, they actually competed the day before. Now, how do you go from dad to competitor in the same weekend?
Yeah, that's that is very good. I'm glad you brought that up. This whole entire process, and that's why, you know, praise God, he was on my side. I felt a lot of kind of like a test, you know, of where I'm at in life, because, you know, I had my kids competing, my daughter Sonali and my son Ethan. They're doing kids fitness, and we're actually going to be on a reality show that's going to be airing next April 2016.
Oh, wow.
Details of the network. Yeah, and the reason why they competed is because the network was filming them competing at this show, and they came by our house to film just the kids as they prepared for the show, you know, what, looking at their food prep, training, and this and that. And, you know, they were just in love with our kids. They were filming three families, our kids, Sonali, Ethan, obviously, a family out of Roanoke, Virginia, another family out of Nebraska. So they followed all three of our families' training and trials. And so it all culminated at the Natural Olympia. So they're doing all the editing now of the show. It'll air. But so we had camera crew following us around, looking at us as we, you know, the kids got tanned and, you know, interviewing us and things like that for the show. So it was a madhouse. So doing that and then trying to keep up with my diet. And, of course, we're flying in from Virginia to Vegas. So, you know, flying isn't always easy. We came in Wednesday night, and I actually got really sick. And it was another trial. I threw up because I had eaten my tilapia, and I ate it cold before I got on the plane. And as soon as I got off the plane, I mean, I was just throwing up, and I was like, man, my wife don't want me to go to the hospital. I was like, nope, I'm not taking a chance of getting IVs put in me to ruin the prep, but luckily I got over it. But then, like you said, Thursday we registered. They filmed that Friday. The kids went on, and the film crew was going, and my kids were, you know, they just did an awesome job. My daughter got second. She was very disappointed to get second, but I was so proud of her because, you know, for your first Olympia, second in the world against all these kids, there were some great girls that were from Canada, and they were trained by this Olympic coach that had the girls, you know, with the choreographed routines and, you know, flips and flexibility and this and that. And my daughter beat all of them out but one. It was very close. But, you know, my daughter's kind of like me. She's a fierce competitor. She was very disappointed mm-hmm. she lost. And when she started, you know, crying, you know, my wife started crying, I started crying, and they tried to get all that on film, and kind of big old mess, you know, but, you know, we got through it, yeah, so you'll see it on TV. But then my son also, he got third in his, you know, he's a tough kid, so he took third in stride, you know, he had a good routine and everything. So, you know, the kids did their thing, and once they did their thing, you know, then it was time to kind of, you know, focus on me getting ready. And I had to just, like I said, switch my mindset, make sure that I did everything to help my wife and, you know, relieve the stress off of her, because she was really the driving force in getting them. You know, my wife Mary is on them as far as their routines are concerned. She's the one that put the routines together. She helped get their outfits. You know, they had a lady here that did the nice, beautiful outfit for my daughter. Then my son had his board shorts and everything else. So then he organized the tanning. It's a lot of work that goes into it. So getting prepared and then having to get myself to go up against the world champion lineup that we had, it wasn't easy, not at all. But, you know, I just stayed true to the course and had to kind of balance both the, you know, family life as well as trying to get myself into it. And to be honest, I even had in my mind kind of doubting myself, like, you know what, I just have to focus on my family first, and whatever happens with me happens with me. And you go through up and down of emotions, you know. And luckily on the day of the show, I had my sponsors there, Jason Hansen, Craig couldn't make it because he was in a serious car accident, Craig Bitten, David Edgel, Ray Ross, those guys came out. And they just made everything so comfortable for me. They made it stress-free because actually right before the pre-judging, my youngest daughter, who didn't compete, Ariana, cut her foot open in the hotel, so slight mm-hmm. open. And so we're thinking, oh, gotta take her to the hospital for stitches. And so this is right before pre-judging, and my wife's calling me like right as I'm, you know, an hour before pre-judging started. I'm like, what else can go wrong, God? You know, and all I can think in my mind is like, you know what? What's most important? You know, and of course I was disappointed in a way, but I knew that I had to be there for my family. So we went and picked them up, but luckily, Dave Edgel had a first aid kit. He was able to stitch it up, and there's actually some of the other athletes, which are great. That's a great thing about the Natural Olympia. There's so many different competitors, and some of them were doctors, nurses, and things like that. They came right over and tried to do their best to help out with her foot and make sure that, you know, the bleeding stopped. So all of that eased the stress. So it went from mega stress to things just going down. And Jason, he's a funny guy. He just kept me laughing, kept my spirits up. And, you know, the rest is history.
Yes. And speaking of history, I mean, this is like the epitome of the best, of the, you know, the worst weekend that turned into the best weekend. And it just gets even better. Because you got another award. And I mean, that just had me, you know, even from a distance, having tears in my eyes and just feeling so proud to even know you. And can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know, being put in the Hall of Fame for natural bodybuilding with the INBA, ABA, PNBA is, of course, a proud moment. You know, all the years. And, you know, for doing it so long, it seeming, you know, feeling like a hobby, but putting so much into it and getting so much out of it, I just really don't look at getting anything from it. But the sport just keeps giving back. You know, it's not about just the wins and everything else. The people that you meet, I guess the mark that you leave so that people ask for things from you and you give back as best as you can. And, you know, with me promoting and competing and judging and things like that, for me to get this award, just, you know, it just made it seem like it was all worth just kind of stepping out of my comfort zone and just doing things that, you know, I could have easily said no or been scared to do. And the years and years of being involved in the organization and natural bodybuilding in general, to get the Hall of Fame award was just unreal, you know. And I think the Keiko's family really does such a great, great job, you know. So big props to Demi and Diana Keiko's. They, beautiful family, you know, they really know how to put on a show and an organization. And when I got the award, it was very sweet. You know, I had my wife obviously speak for me, which, you know, was awesome. You know, Jason Hansen, he spoke on my behalf and kind of led the charge for my award. Kiyoshi even spoke. And, you know, when you have your friend and fiercest competitor talk about you, it really was a great moment because he had some great things to say, and I could see the respect that we both have for each other and, you know, how he felt. And he really helped me out a lot and also kept my mind at ease during the whole thing. And then, of course, my kids, you know, my daughter, she, you know, her sweet little voice saying that, you know, she's proud of me. And then my son, really, he's the one that made me cry at the Hall of Fame. My son Ethan Red, he had a whole speech laid out on his iPhone, and as soon as he started reading it, I just couldn't contain it anymore. And it was such a great moment. I got great kids, great family. I'm so blessed, you know, love them all. And they're the ones that are worth it to me. And so after this weekend full of so many great events, and, you know, coming out on top in the Hall of Fame, I felt like everything that I've done in my career, it was all worth it and came to a good conclusion, to the point where, like, I feel like I've done everything that I want to do. It doesn't mean I'm not going to do more, but you know, everything extra that does happen, you know, it's just, you know, just extra. But I feel like I've done more than I could ever have imagined and dreamed of. And, you know, it's unreal. You know, it's just like a dream, but I just am so happy. And, it's a great 2015, that's all I got to say.
Amen to that. And, you know, just where it came from to where it is, you know, because it started out with some you know, some potholes and some side ditches that were definitely not needed. You know, there was a lot of things that was coming out of the competitors. It seemed more, you know, one against another. And to me, it just took away from the momentum that we had coming out of 2014, because there was just so much energy and so much promise. And I was just sad, you know, but like you said, you know, life happens. There's things that, you know, it's challenges. I mean, basically that's what it did. It challenged all of us. You know, who's going to, you know, stick it out? Who's going to be in the ride for the long haul? And who really loved the sport enough to stick through the hard times? Because, you know, Leif Anderson and I were talking, and I said, you know, it's always funny to me how, you know, we go into the gym and we bust our butts and we get sore and we smile because we're so happy. Yeah. You know, I'm about to be sore because I got some growth about to come. But then we get in life and you have that same kind of pain and you say, oh, life sucks. And why me? And I'm thinking, well, you got some growth coming on. And it just tickled me how we can be so focused in the gym and then not apply that to the lives that basically get us to the gym, because, you know, it's still the same person. And, you know, I just love your positive and the humble nature, because no matter what, you know, you still have the concern for others. And I think that's what gets you through. But I'm trying and I'm praying that we can start, because I know you like to give back. I know you like sharing, and I know you like doing that outreach. And I'm sure that overflow from you is pouring into somebody. But I wish more could understand that this is us. I mean, like, we have a fitness family, and that's the one thing I'm so blessed. When I think I told you that when, you know, I think about the third time that I met you, I had no idea there were so many giving people until I learned about my fitness family. And it's just, like you said, with so many backgrounds, everything's covered. Everything's covered. And you know, if we would just do that outreach, there's so many people that want to be involved. They just need to know they have that connection somewhere else, where if they come to a different area, you know, it can happen. Because, you know, I think about Moji. If somebody needs a place that's competing, Moji says, hey, come to my house. I remember when Marshall went out there, you know, when I came over to Virginia, you said, hey, come on to my gym and we'll get this stuff going. It's so many avenues that we could take that are available. And I think that's what matters most to what we're doing, because people can see that even though there's so much competition on stage, and don't be fooled, anybody listening, I hope you understand, it's true competition on stage. But backstage, the love will frighten you if you're not sure. I'm serious. If somebody's not ready for that, it will be scary, because they'll say, you know, something's going on that I don't know about. And they'll be right. They'll be exactly right.
It's so funny. You're right. I mean, especially at this show, and you know, you go in there, and the first thing on my mind is, man, how in the world am I going to beat a Martin Daniels or a Meshack or Justin or Mike Waddington or all the rest of those guys? But the tall class, you know, they separated in two classes this time, and so my class, the short class, had I think 14 competitors, and the tall class had 12. So it was deep, you know, and all the top guys that you saw compete this year in the PNBA and other organizations were there, and it was scary. So I had to get through first the short class and then worry about the tall class. It was not an easy feat, but when you're backstage or even during, like, the press conference we did with Kyoshi and everything, I'm sitting there, and if anyone has ever, you know, if you see pictures of a guy like Mark Gatiss, he doesn't look like a guy that smiles a lot or friendly, but man, that dude is the friendliest, coolest guy. I can't even believe it. I mean, me and him, we've been talking on Facebook. He did my show in August, and obviously won.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met him then, you know, I was like, wow, this guy he's great. I mean, my wife loves him. She loves his physique. I mean, who doesn't? But coolest guy. I mean, even when we were on stage, after stage, you know, even in the hotel, we're just talking. Man, I tell you, that's the kind of type of guy I could hang out with him, and train with him, because that's just how it is. And then same thing with Justin. Justin and I always talk. I mean, we hung out before, and, you know, every year that I've competed at the Natural Olympia, he's been there. And I kept telling him that he's one of the Iron Men of the sport, because he continues to come in, continues to improve his body, and he's always in the running for the title. And he's like one of the scariest competitors that you'll ever see that hasn't won that Olympia title yet. I said, man, your time's going to come, because you're too good, you're too scary. And every time I look at you, you're the guy that's on my radar. Like, man, if he comes in like he did last year, this and that, you never know what you're going to look like against guys like that, you know. And same thing with Meshack. Meshack is so soft-spoken, you know, just a godly man. You know, he's just super nice, but his physique is ridiculous. For his size, because of his muscle abilities, if he were, you know, 2-3 inches taller, no one would ever touch him because he's just too ridiculous. You know, his body is just cartoonish, and that's in a good way because I've never seen round muscles like that. Best arms I've ever seen, you know, abs, muscle belly. It's crazy. Crazy. So he's a scary competitor, you know, and he keeps improving too. And, you know, him and Jason, my sponsor, you know, he'll go there and talk to Meshach and make jokes, and Meshach just laughs it off, and it's just fun, you know. You go in there, we're just like making jokes and laughing, even though, you know, the atmosphere is fierce and everybody's a competitor and everybody wants to win. But you know what? You can just relax because you're actually fans and friends with the majority of these guys. So on stage, yes, you're battling, but everywhere else, it's just chilling, you know, chilling. And see you next year, or see you next time, and wish you luck next time you're on stage and this and that. And it's great. So I've got friends for life because of that. And just like you said with Moji,
exactly,
if any of them want to come by my house, you know, they're welcome to stay. And I think all of us have our fan base. I've got people now, especially after the show, that watch the live feed or been at the show, and they're from different countries, and they're saying, hey, we want to get the IMBA out in our country, like Chile and Africa, and I try to send them information or help them somehow, you know, get involved in the sport here to get to the Natural Olympia. And that's what you have to do, is this outreach. And because all of us are, you know, ambassadors of the sport and trying to make it grow and reach out to people that want to be part of natural bodybuilding instead of going the other route, that's kind of the power we've been given, you know, to reach out to people, just like you're saying, that outreach is so important to just continue to make the sport grow to the point where it can become bigger. You know, it's not going to ever be lucrative. We're going to make a living off of it, but you know what? You can still get rewarded in so many different ways just by being part of this, you know, natural movement.
And, you know, I think the day will come where it will be lucrative enough because, you know, the thing about, like, and this is what's always been paramount to me, and like you said, it's the fountain of youth. That means you can be consistent with it, and basically this is something you can do your whole life, you know, because you've got masters, and after that you've got ultra masters, and you know, to look at the physique, I mean, when you figure somebody like an Ed Castillo, and you figure somebody like a Marshall Johnson, where they don't just, they're not looking good, they're winning.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. And you're not talking about a master's class. They do win master's class, yes, but they could win an open easily.
Yeah, those guys are still competing. And, yeah, those guys are still doing open classes, like you said, especially Marshall. You know, he's still out there, 54 years old, and winning open men's pro bodybuilding shows, you know, against guys probably some of them half his age, and it's amazing, you know. Yeah, you're right. So you're right. I mean, if you keep on going, you know, things hopefully will change in the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years to the point where, you know, you get more opportunities. I've been blessed to get opportunities. I'm hoping that it spreads to pretty much all of the top athletes, whether they're amateurs or pros, and male or female too. You know, there's a lot of female competitors, like you were mentioning. The females that came out were just unbelievable. You know, they're so motivating, and just like, you know, every single one of them, the classes were stacked, you know, and I was in shock at just some of the physiques, especially some of the international ones. I mean, they came sick, and it was just wow. You know, just shoulders, abs, legs, it's unbelievable. And I didn't know half of their names, you know, and you got girls like Angela Yao going up against them and others. And of course, they were coming out on top, but they were tested, you know. So like we had, they had to come out and really, really push. And it was great. It was great to see that, you know. And it was good that it was a two-day show, so I was able to see a lot of the show before I actually stepped on stage. There were so many athletes. And it was amazing to see that type of, wow, you know, it's just, it is the best of the best. And you can believe that naturally these athletes can achieve what they did, including, I even saw some teenagers. I was like, holy cow. We all know about Davion, but, man, they had some more that were in their early 20s. And I'm like, what the? I mean, ridiculous. So the sport is in great hands. The future is bright. Just like you're saying, I'm hoping that, you know, I know sponsors like P4P, you know, and My Body Evolution and others, you know, they continue to give back, and I'm hoping that they're recognized and able to get more kind of funding to help the athletes. And, you know, I definitely stay positive, but my whole mindset too is I'm not doing it for that at this point. If it comes, great. You know, I've already gotten so many things. Like I said, I feel like I've already been blessed. Whatever comes after that is just gravy. And maybe I can take that and give it to others, but definitely feel like other athletes, you know, they deserve to be looked at. You know, look at it this way. Martin Daniels in Cleveland just recently got sponsored by P4P, and these guys are multiple world champions.
And that's a shame.
It's
crazy.
That's a shame. Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a
shame.
It's a big-time shame, you know, and I know that same thing Marshall Flynn got, you know, sponsored. Emoji's been with ProLabs for a while, and to see Martin and Cleveland not have that, I'm glad that finally they were hooked up like they should be.
Exactly. And, you know, that was the one thing. Like I said, that was one thing that really kind of, you know, it's like you see everything happening with Natural Vitamin, and I realized just how beneficial it was to the people, the people that have to work, you know, to learn about their health, you know, especially with obesity being considered a disease now. And, you know, there were so many avenues to say you don't have to work hard, you don't have to do this, you know, you can just accept the lifestyle of complacency. And then to find out that there was this underground movement of people basically defying the odds, you know, in spite of all this bad food, in spite of all the excuses and reasons, there's people out there that are basically not only owning their health, but they're stepping on stage and winning top competition. So, you know, for me, that was great. And then to find out that there's no sponsorships for the people that are doing these kind of things naturally really knocked the wind out of me. I mean, and you talk about your sales dropping in a hurry. I was like, what? You must be kidding. You know, and then, like I said, when I saw you at that bus, I said, well, thank God there's hope. You know, and to have your picture on it, because this is what I was seeing in the other side, the enhanced side, and I was like, well, why? And that was a question, I've spoken to you about this before, and that was one of the things I'd asked before, why aren't we getting any love if we take the supplements religiously? You know, if this is
right.
Our sole way of getting any kind of gain, I mean, you know, because honestly, the up-and-comer basically only has supplements because they're learning diet, they're learning health, they're learning nutrition, and the supplement basically gets them past all their faults, to be honest. And,
no, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, so it's for them not to be addressed in a way that says, hey, we want you to keep working hard like you're doing. We want you to keep pushing yourself, and we want to see what a body can look like at its best naturally. Because the one thing that Eugene Sandow said that really stuck with me when I was reading his book, he said, man's body has so much up-and-coming potential.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that will limit it is the fact that steroids is coming in his era. When his era was coming on, because he was just so far ahead of the game, and if you saw his physique, he was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a...
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then... The fact that he knew that people would start turning to that because they didn't want to wait. And that's you know, it's like history repeating itself because, like, you figure all the way back then, and he's saying that, you know, nobody's going to want to do the work because they're going to take the easy way out. But I said, for me, I was thinking, okay, now that I'm reading it, that gives me even more motivation to stay natural and see what he envisioned. You know, not for
sure.
What... just for what he was saying, but saying, you know, I do want to see what I can look like without all that stuff in my system. What a mind and proper diet and everything else, what can push me to look my best? Because I had no idea about full muscle belly until I saw Natural Bodybuilding. Because
mm-hmm.
everything else was just basically, there's no nice way to say it, but I just
yeah,
kind of look like a line, a conveyor line of just the same product. I wanted to look like me. What will I look like at my best, you know, as a unique individual?
This is a great topic, you know, and I've heard you guys talk about a lot on the podcast, and you know, I have, you know, no ill will against anybody, whether they're taking stuff or not. You know, I got friends that take stuff, whatever, I talk to them, and I try to do my best with them. I'm natural, and you know, but when you have those products, like you said, and they're using an IFEB or NPC, top NPC competitor to say, I'm taking this, when that's not all the stuff they're taking to get their physique.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these natural physiques that are using their products religiously, and you can see a before and after because of the products, and also that longevity, like you say. And, you know, you got these guys who, like Emoji with ProLab, he's been taking them for years and years and years. He's an awesome ambassador for the sport and for their supplement company.
Yeah,
and you can see the changes in his body. That's what you want to be on the cover of all of your ProLab products and boxes, or your supplements boxes, because they are living off of your supplements. And you know, when you see them, and I think the thing about natural body, and I think the thing that's helped me to stay, and I've never taken any drugs, never will, but when you, like you said, see guys like Marshall Johnson, and I see Sammy Sisk is one of the leading
Woo!
Top guys, if you've seen his physique this weekend, this dude is like, he has an age, dude's 57 years old, and always winning, you know, the overall open men's category and the masters category. His physique is like a young man, you know, like a 21-year-old. It's crazy. But it's the way he lives his lifestyle. You're seeing a lot of the other guys on the other side, NBC or IFBB, a lot of these guys are passing away. Every month it seems like I see, you know, because of the abuse of the steroids that they're taking, they just don't live, you know, much past 40, or they'll have health issues, you know, later on through the years. But these other guys that are doing it naturally, they are just living a healthy lifestyle, an active lifestyle, competing on a regular basis. They can do show after show, year after year, because they're just living the lifestyle, and they should be the ones that you see on the product, so that people, mainstream people, can look at it and say, like, wow, this supplement is natural and is letting guys go from this at this age to look like that. I want to look like this when I'm 60, 70 years old or whatever, and not like these other guys. And it should be like that, you know. But I think because we see more, you know, they're paying more money to the other side, it needs to be a change, you know. And I don't know how to make that happen. All I can do is do my best to represent natural bodybuilding and represent the organizations that I'm part of. And I'm hoping that I can show them that, hey, there's some other guys that you can look up to that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s that you should take heed to and look at, you know, because that's the real way to live. So we'll see what the future holds, man. But, you know, it's good that you guys have these podcasts and are spreading the word as best as we can, and P4P and Body Evolution, everybody else, you know, just keep spreading word. That's all we can do. And I think we are, you know, making a lot of headway with people. You know, I think when you look at all these supplement companies and stuff, you know, the Olympia did WADA testing. It's Olympic testing. And if you can't take a supplement and do that kind of testing so that you can enter into the Olympics, then you aren't doing things the right way. I feel like, you know, everyone else that's not doing it that way, they just kind of got to get with the program, you know. But, you know, for the most part, it's just all about longevity, you know. And if you want to live that healthy lifestyle and be here, for me, family is very important, as you know. You know, God, family, and everything else. And, you know, I want to be around for my kids and set an example for them. Obviously, they're competing in kids' fitness, and we promote kids' fitness. And when I see my kids doing the activities and they are living the same way I'm living for the most part, it makes me feel good, because I don't have to do anything anymore, because I can look at my kids and live vicariously through them if, you know, something ever happens to me. But, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm still going to be around for a while, but I definitely want them to continue to live that lifestyle so they can be the future. And I see that in them. I see that in a lot of young competitors. You know, that's a great thing that can give all of us hope that the natural movement will continue to grow.
And grow so much better. You know, like you were saying with Davion, you got the young and up-and-comers where you got Dorito Mackey. I mean, you got these guys that, I mean, the fella that just won the Kansas City Classic, 20 years
oh,
old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he, just, I can't believe it. I saw him at the Yorton Cup, and he was amazing. He's like a little tank. He kind of, I can't even describe his body, but yeah, he's, oof, I couldn't believe he's only 20 years old. I was like, what?
Yes.
Yeah, he's, yeah, unreal.
But when you hear, those, you know, guys of that nature speak of you and the way they speak it, and because you had that door and you opened it and you didn't take that other door, it gave them hope. I mean, you look like, you know, with the Africans coming over, and the names that are falling out of their mouth are basically the elite pro bodybuilding guys that they've grown up with, because you guys have been pioneers. Even when you didn't think you were being pioneers, you still stuck with it. And to me,
very true.
That's what makes the difference. And, you know, that's why, you know, sponsors like P4B can come into existence, because they see that, you know, people do have a hunger for it. It's not just like, you know, it's a passion, but a passion is a hunger, whether we see it that way or not. It's something that we have that we're just drawn to it, and we feed off of it, and we feed into it, and then we start that overflow. And I think that's what you guys, you know, the Kyoshis, the Ricos, the Mojis, the Marshalls, the Castillos, you know, all the Daniels, all you guys, the Clevelands, where you just, you can't give enough back, because it just means that much to you. And now you see this up-and-coming generation that are just so empowered. I think that's the best way to say it. There's no doubt for them. They're not looking at the other side. They've seen that already. You know, where we had the Sandow growing up wondering if we were going to fail, he's actually getting to see now in his grave that his idea came to fruition, because it was so overridden with the over-the-top physique. Now you have people saying, but that's not me. That never will be me. I want to look like me naturally. And they're so driven because of what you guys basically laid the foundation with. It changed everything.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you need those pioneers. And I think it's always going to continue this way, too. You know, I think, you know, people that may look up to, you know, all of the guys you mentioned, you know, like I said, I look up to the older guys as well. You know, when I first started out as a young kid and kind of being more selfish and cocky, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be around forever. You don't realize how hard it is to continue, you know. You don't realize
until
you get, you know, older and like, wow, you know, because life takes a hold of you. You got jobs, you got family and everything else. It takes a lot of work and a lot of passion, like you said, passion. That's the key word that you've been mentioning over and over again. And it's very important, you know, passion, commitment, dedication. We see other people that have done it for a while and continue to do it. You know, you can respect the hard work that they put into it. And it is very important. And then I think if people continue to see the same guys as they get older and older, still kind of being at the top or elite level and performing and improving, it's motivation for the future, you know. And you need to have those certain ones there that people can look up to and continue on. And I think that the younger generation will continue to have that, and hopefully they'll be the new Kyoshis and Martins and Clevelands, and, you know, then they'll have a younger crowd that's going to keep moving up. And I hope my kids, you know, they move into that level. I know my daughter's really, really into it, and I can see her. She's just got that natural physique and athleticism, so we'll see what happens. But no matter what the future holds for any of them, you know, I'm always proud of them, but I just see that there's a lot of potential out there, for sure. And like you said, keep elevating the sport.
Yes, and thank God, you know, and the fact that, you know, it's so beautiful, you know, the fact that you named your show The Legend, and then you become one in the Hall of Fame. I mean, because you don't know, and then things happen. Like you said, it's so unwritten, and that's the blessing of competition, is that you just don't know. You just got to do your best. And then when you actually have it happen, and happen the way it does, it's such a blessing, and it's so, I don't want to say overwhelming, because it's something you work for, and I don't want to diminish, like, you didn't expect to win. Nobody competes without expecting to win, but the fact that you actually do, because you don't know, and that's the beauty of any competition, is that you don't know, and that's, okay, what are you willing to do to win legally? And I always say that, because, you know, I've heard people say, man, I'd do anything to win. And I said, I'll do my best. And I'll always do my best to win. And I'll push my hardest. And if that's not enough, then I got more work to do. But even if you win, you got more work to do. It's never, as a competitor, there's never that happy moment. There's just the moment where you get to enjoy it. But when you say, you know, well, I don't want to say happy. I'd say content. There's never that content moment where you said, it's enough. Because even, right. You know, I've seen people that retire, they still want to teach. So it's always something that's a new challenge for a person that's truly competitive. There's people that, you know, run off pride. There's people that run off ego. And that lasts only so long. But like you said, when you've got that passion, it's not about pride. It's not about ego. You can take the time to teach. And anybody that's a teacher has love for what they do because they remember everything it took to get there. And that changes, that basically changes the game because no matter what you had, you're giving back more because whatever you learned basically poured into you and now you're sharing what you learned and more because that's what you learned. So anything you give out is increased.
Yeah, that's true. So, you, amen, man. I couldn't say it any better than that, you know, because honestly, even with this show, you're right the first time. I didn't know if I was going to win. And when you have, you know, a name put on your name, like legend and this and that, you try to live up to the best you can, but you have doubts, you know, and especially when you're going up against a whole bunch of other top guys. You never know where you're going to fit in. And any given day, anybody can beat the other person. You know, earlier in the year, you know, Meshach beats Cleveland. I never thought that would happen. You know, and including into, you know, beating other competitors. And so it's just, it keeps flip-flopping. You never know what can happen when you step on stage. And that's the beauty of the sport, too, because it can just take one little thing, you know, one miscalculation, one, you know, life event or whatever happens, and that can change your placing or just different judges, you know. So Cleveland had an awesome year. Meshach had an awesome year. You know, Martin. So all these guys have awesome years, and I'm waiting for one show to see what I could do. So there's a lot of doubt. And like I said, mm-hmm. come into play. It helps out now with any kind of ventures that I have to try to help out and give back and outreach because, you know, I can say that I've done this while still promoting and trying to help out clients or help out my kids or help out people from other countries or just anybody. So It is a big deal, and, you know, even if I didn't win, you know, just seeing that, you know, if it can make changes in my body at the age that I am, it's a good thing, and, you know, you got to just know that you did your best and be satisfied with that and not have the pride and selfishness, and I was prepared for no matter what the outcome was because, you know what, I have faith in God that he's going to do what is best for me at the time. You know, that's why he put me through those tests, you know, for the show and, you know, put the outcome was whatever outcome he wanted it to be. And, you know, now my life will take on new changes, new ventures, and I just have to be prepared for it.
Mm-hmm. And one of the blessings of it is that, you know, with you being an ambassador and also, you know, from the military, is that you're not unfamiliar with being overseas, so you do understand there's a different mindset, there's a different culture, there's a different way of living other than what is in the United States. Because, you know, with that, sometimes with that isolationist attitude, we can be abrasive, I guess the best way to say it, you know. And then I remember when you went out to Japan and you were so welcome, and it just, those things don't happen by accident. And, you know, to be an ambassador, it's a great thing, but it's also a great honor because people are saying, we trust you enough to represent us as a whole.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that, you know, throughout life, you put in these positions and situations that prepare you for whatever you have later on in life. And I've been overseas to many different countries and love different cultures. And I see, you know, the good and the bad. And, you know, you can fall in love with the people in different places just because they all have different hearts. And, you know, a lot of people will say negative things about certain areas where they've never been there. But, you know, we're all human beings, you know, as a whole. And it's good to see that, you know, universally, internationally, there's respect for people that try to do the right thing. And so you just got to try to do your best. You know, definitely not perfect by any means, but I just try to do my best to be approachable, you know, whether it's here in the States or internationally to anyone that I meet. You know, and the military really set me up with a good career, you know, retirement, a job that I have now to support my family, and also kind of like that international feel of a culture that I can relate to everyone, you know, no matter where you're at. So, and I'm hoping I get some more international, you know, opportunities too, because, you know, my wife and I like to travel, but, you know, just to be able to reach out to others, you know, and get them involved in natural body bank, because I think drugs are rampant no matter where you're at in the world, you know, you're probably more so in other countries. So it's nice to keep them drug-free and just to kind of see, you know, everyone live that positive life no matter where you're at.
Well said, Jim. And thank you so much, Rico. You know, it seemed like we just started talking and the show is already over. I really do. You're a blessing to me. You have been since day one. And I just hope everybody understands, you know, the blessings we have, all the people that have basically been put in our way to enrich us, enrich our minds, and to enrich us as, you know, athletes as well as people, you know, because like you said, we slip, we trip, we bruise, we get all kinds of injuries, but for some way, if we do what's right in the eyes of God, we come out stronger. And that's how he does whip us into place. You know, he reminds us, he works with us, and then we grow. And it just shows out when it's done his way. And, you know, with you being an ambassador for your sponsor, with you being an ambassador to your family, with you being a dad, with you being a husband, these things are important because, you know, there's 100 excuses that keep us from moving. And basically, natural bodybuilders, natural athletes shut all that down daily, you know, because you guys find a way. And it's just such a blessing that, you know, that door was open for us. We don't have to work as hard. We got to work, yes, but we don't have to work as hard as you did. We don't have to, you know, basically almost sell our souls because, you know, that's what it seemed like back in the day. And I don't even want to talk about the other side, what they had to do. Oh, my goodness. But it's just where you can be that person that you wanted to be in a natural way, in a natural state. And thank you for that. And, you know, I'm going to give you this time for you to, you know, give a shout out to everybody that basically helped this year happen.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. I mean, well said. And definitely have to give thanks to my family. You know, my wife, Mary, like you said, she puts up with me. Now she's trying to get the kids to bed. She's like mad at me to help her get them to bed and stuff. My son, Ethan, Ariana, Sonali, all my kids. You know, people that I work with that have helped me out. I got a couple of great clients, Josiah Dorton, Tito Amira, Zach Leno and his wife. It's just so many, all my clients that I deal with, all the natural competitors that help motivate everyone, you know, and give back. Like you already mentioned all the names, the Mojis, the Martins, the Marshalls, the Kilshies, you know, I mean, the list is goes on and on, Meshack, Martin. You know, there's so many top guys, like I mentioned before, that I really respect in the sport. And I want to also thank, of course, my sponsors, Jason Nance and his beautiful wife, Heather, their kids, Craig Bidden, Dave Edgel, the whole entire Body Evolution team, Denny Kakos, Diana Kakos, basically every single promoter for all the organizations. You know, I know, Matt Shepley and all the ones from DFAC and AMBF, Kent Beerley, and, I can just name all the promoters. Anyone that's trying to do their best for natural bodybuilding, I have mad respect for, and all the supplement companies that are sponsoring natural athletes. You guys are doing what needs to be done to keep the sport running as best you can. The market is growing, but still a ways to go. And, all the people from my work, too, that supported me while I was doing my show, they all know who they are. They were watching the tube, and they were messaging me and encouraging me, so I'll give them a big thanks. But, all the people out there that follow me and follow the sport, without them, then we're nothing. So, and, of course, big thanks to you and the P4P family, too, because you guys, you're doing what you can. I've known you for years, man, and, you always keep a positive outlook. You're a man of God and a man with the passion to continue to show people who the top guys are and give them airtime and stuff, so I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome, and I hope you get better. And, you struggle through it, and tell your wife I'm sorry for keeping you so long, but it's more than worth it for me. You're in the hot seat, but I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Rico. God bless you. I'm going to let you check out now, and I'll let everybody know what's coming up for P4P. But thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great night, and hope to see you soon. Mm-hmm.
You too, brother. God bless, man. All right, later.
All right. Later.
All right, bye.
Later. That was Rico. My goodness. He's a special individual. When you meet him in person, you'll understand exactly why people love him so much. And He's a gentleman. He's very humble. He's a husband. He's a dad. And he pretty much takes on those different aspects when he's talking to people, depending on what you need to hear and how you need to be helped. He can cover that aspect because he's all of those things naturally. And I don't say that tongue-in-cheek or pun intended. He is just a natural individual that's very humble. It's a part of his nature. So everything he does is with that nature, and he just addresses people so well. So he's a great champion for the sport. He's actually now the Mr. Natural Olympia 2015, and he's got so many other titles, but the best one you can have is his friend. And that's very special when you have that from an individual that's willing to put himself through the tortures and rigors of a competitor and win. So it's never about him. It's always about the outreach. He does that, and he does that quite well. So, Des, are you still there, Devery?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm still creeping on your call.
Before we end the show, we missed you, so I don't want people to think that you disappeared on us. You had some things going on. Would you like to elaborate on that, can we just wait for another show, or how do you want to do that?
Yeah, we can just wait for another show. I've had a chance to do a little traveling, visit some family. So very grateful to Kaylin for holding down the P4P Real Talk fort. I'm sad that I missed some pretty great Mythbusters shows, but they were awesome. So if you haven't listened to them, check our archives. You're definitely going to want to keep that. A lot of great information in there. But as always, we've got a great lineup coming up. And you're going to want to check us out every Tuesday and Thursday night.
Yes, indeed. And you actually have somebody coming up in the near future. I don't know when, because that's something you're planning. But Leslie Franklin is going to be on. And I can't wait to hear the female side of the Mythbusters, because it's still unfinished business, because there's so many things out there that inhibit a natural competitor from becoming their best. And we're trying to make sure that happens. Because, we do need to grow, and we do need to grow naturally in a way that's healthy and fit. And, you know, with the things that are out there currently, I don't think that we're actually there yet. We've always got room to grow, but I sure want to make sure we grow in a nice and healthy fashion.
Yes, no doubt. And we are going to be speaking with Leslie not this Thursday, but next Thursday, which I believe is December 11th. I'm not in front of a calendar, but I believe it's December 11th, and it's going to be a great show. So you're definitely going to want to tune in, and we're going to dispel some more myths, get the female version of the story, and just have a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I'll let you in the show since I haven't had the blessing of hearing your voice.
Well, on behalf of our most wonderful and gracious guest tonight, Kaylin and P4P, we hope you guys have a blessed evening. And as you know, your body is a temple, so let's build it.